KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We are here to rock your geek world. Woo. We're going to do it hardcore tonight. That's right. So get ready, get down, and get all smooth.
Get funky. I'm halfway smooth.
All right, nice.
We won't get into reasons for that.
Eh?
Yeah.
Because reasons.
Alrighty, so yes, we've got a wonderful show for you tonight, as we always do, I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm. But, there's no thinking involved here, that's assured.
All right.
100% known fact, quantities and such.
And such, and sciencey things.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Potentially.
Nice.
There's potential sciencey here.
Well, first off, Caleb doesn't expect this.
What am I not
expecting?
But
I'm going to say it anyway.
What's that?
Congratulations.
Yes. I have a job tomorrow.
Yay!
Woo! First day tomorrow. Yay! If you've been listening long enough, you know I've had a tumultuous relationship with steady employment.
Yeah.
Not through any fault of anybody. It just sometimes that's the way things go. It's startup world. Sometimes you get laid off and sometimes contracts end. But, you know, I have work. That's exciting.
That's good.
That's super exciting.
That is a good thing.
And pretty cool work, too, it sounds like. So,
yeah, as a graphic designer at a small website out in Hayward, they are they sell pet...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I remember you telling me, not the audience to know this, but
mm-hmm.
you were telling me about that. So, okay, so you landed that one?
I did, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So it seems like a good spot.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to jumping in.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Cool.
So tomorrow's your first day?
Tomorrow's my first day.
Oh, okay.
So tomorrow's mostly going to be sort of like introductions. Here's your station. Here's how it operates. Here's how things look. Monday will probably be the actual first day of work. But
okay.
Nice. We shall see. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Yes, definitely. So give Caleb a round of applause out there. Caleb, how can they do that?
If you wish to congratulate me or just comment on what we're talking about here on the show, you can do that right now. But do it safely.
Right now.
But do it safely if you're in a car.
Safely. Right now.
You can find us on Facebook. Do facebook.com/robotsattackshow. You can also hit us up on the Twitters. We are robotsattackme, all one word. Our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com, and the one place to find all things Robots Attack is robotsattack.me. That has links to all the things I mentioned before, as well as email and past episodes of the show, so you can catch up.
That's
you can
right.
hear about my tortured relationship with employment.
Right. Yes, you can. And also some other things as well.
Oh, yeah. Tons of other really good information, lots of good news stories and fun stuff.
Yeah, we have fun here.
Good discussions, too, in the core. Definitely check them out.
Yes. All right. I believe
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start us off with some new releases.
Oh, yes. That could work.
Which is what we typically do here. But first, even before that.
Before that.
I'm going to give a shout out to relatively new, I would say, fan. She ended up liking the page, and she's mm-hmm. liked some of our posts recently, but I won't say her full name, but Sarah, I'll give a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank you for liking the posts, participating on the show.
Definitely.
And all that, so just wanted to give a shout out. You too can get a shout out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just participate on the show and all those simple and easy ways that Caleb just mentioned. And if you were like, wait, I missed it, don't worry. We got bumpers. We repeat it and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now on to the new releases. In the theater this week, we have, that's right, Planes, Fire and Rescue.
Ooh.
When world-famous air racer Dusty learns that his engine is damaged and he may never race again, he shifts gears and is launched into the world of aerial firefighting. So, I didn't realize Planes did as well as it did, but apparently it did well enough to get a sequel.
That's not saying too much. Some strange movies get sequels.
True. Speaking of another sequel, The Purge, Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
On the night of the annual Purge, five citizens find out just how far they will go to protect themselves and, ultimately, each other as they fight to survive a night fraught with impossible decisions.
From the writers of Planes, right?
Trains and automobiles?
Right, possibly. Sure.
It's a comedy, The Purge, hey!
Woo!
That'll be the Something third like one. That. Will be a comedy.
Right.
An actual comedy. Like, not, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of comedies, or it's, you know, posed as one, you know, proposing to you, here's some comedy. Sex Tape. When Jay and Annie first got together, their romantic connection was intense. But 10 years and two kids later, the flame of their love needs a spark. To get things up a notch, they decide to make a video of themselves trying out every position in the joy of sex in one marathon, 3-hour session. Seems like a great idea. Until they discover that their most private video is no longer private.
Whoa.
Man. Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz. And that's going to do it. Just a small sort of handful of what's out there and available in the theaters this week.
Very cool. If you want a handful, if you want a sampling of what's on Blu-ray and DVD this week, you might want to look, check out some of these. One of them is Under the Skin. On Blu-ray and DVD, aliens have come to Earth, specifically Scotland, and have taken on human form. Each one has picked one of the Earth's sexes. The male, played by Scarlett Johansson, uses her new skin to lure in a number of men, but over time begins to find something in this human relationship thing, and even begins to forge real relationships. Whoa. This film is rather avant-garde, with little to no dialogue, relying on the visuals to carry the story.
But most people will be watching it to see Scarlett Johansson in her birthday suit.
Probably.
It's a good suit.
Then there is Wrinkles on Blu-ray and DVD.
So it's not for children.
No,
just so we're clear.
Oh,
it's not
no,
for
you
children.
Don't. You don't.
Okay, I get it now.
You don't follow up that with Wrinkles. No, I'm sorry.
All right, we'll move down one, and then we'll come back to Wrinkles. After that, we have Rio 2. Speaking of sequels.
Okay, possibly worse.
From right. Super Artsy 2 for the kids.
Right.
All right, so we're down Orphan Black Season 2. How about that?
There you
that's
go.
More
there
of
you
a,
go.
That's more of a bridge.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Season 2 on Blu-ray and DVD. In this season, Orphan Black hits the ground running with Sarah in a desperate race to find her missing daughter, Kira. Her scorched earth tactics spark a war with pro-clone Rachel, driving and imperiling all the clones. Dividing and imperiling all the clones. As Sarah discovers yet more about her past, mysterious newcomers appear. But can they be trusted?
Solid show.
Probably not.
All right, coming back up to Wrinkles on Blu-ray and DVD. A pair of friends in a retirement home have help a newcomer with the early stages of Alzheimer's to manage this new life. They also do their best to keep their new friend off the assisted floor. The antics bring a bit of humor and excitement back to their lives. It's an animated feature from Spain, so it's probably got subtitles. Then there's Rio 2 on Blu-ray and DVD. While life is good for Blue, Jewel, and their kids, Jewel wishes for them to see how birds are in the wild, which takes the family out of Rio de Janeiro and into the Amazonian jungle, where Blue feels woefully out of place and questions if the call of the wild will take his family beyond his reach. And that rounds out our Blu-ray and DVDs for this week.
Okay. Now, before we get to video games, we got another shout-out to make.
Oh?
Yes. We got a tweet. You got Twitter up?
Yes, I do. A big out to Wow Cool, which is a Wow Cool alternative comic shop. They are in the area.
They're broadcasting us right now.
In
nice.
In this
in the shop.
Very cool.
So shout out to those guys.
Thanks, guys. That's very cool of you.
Hopefully we'll entertain you for the next couple hours. We'll yeah, do our best.
It should be a good show.
All right. So
now video
now
games.
I feel now like the pressure is on. But
no pressure.
Right.
Just everyone in the world is listening to you right
now.
Okay. Going through video games, if you want that more interactive interaction with your
interacting
stuff. This game originally came out a few years ago on the DS, but they came out with a new director's cut version of it. The game is Shantae Risky's Revenge. The director's cut actually sounds like it has some pretty nifty little tweaks to it. It completely changes some of the game styles, adds a whole bunch of extra things for hunting down in the game, and just all around sounds like they put a lot of effort into something that's fairly inexpensive. So go and hunt it down on PC, if you will. Also on PC coming out is Crimson Land, pretty much a top-down dual-stick shooter with lots and lots of blood and lots of weapons. Should be pretty cool.
As many of them are.
Next, we have Wayward Manor. This is a 1920s Victorian Gothic type video game with a fairly cartoon twist to it. But the big thing behind it is that it's created mainly by Neil Gaiman.
Oh.
So it looks like this was one of his big passion projects because he has wanted to do a video game for a long time, and it sounds like he finally found his niche in his view. So, beyond that, we have another game from Chilean developer team that call themselves Ace. Trying to remember the name of the game. They're best known for a fighting slash adventure series that they just had a redo of recently. But anyway, this game, Abyss Odyssey, it's kind of a nifty take on the normal platforming type adventure because they ended up overlapping an entire, like, normal fighter type of combat system on top of it, and it has elements of Pokemon on top of it as well, because whenever you end up successfully beating one of the other characters that you find in the levels, you can take their, like, soul, quote-unquote, and end up unlocking a whole new character to play with. So it sounds like it has a lot of potential. It's made from the developers of Xenoclash, a very, very unique game.
Yes. It's pretty fun, though. It's pretty well thought out for how unusual of a game it is.
Yeah, and also very much about a fighter-styled game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
You could say, I'll collect your soul, I'll collect your soul, instead of, I'll swallow your soul, I'll swallow your soul, to the Pokemon, and you're dead, and continue.
That's true. From that, we go into the newest incarnation of the Magic the Gathering series. Duels of the Planeswalker 2015 is coming out. This time, the main story revolves around a fierce ultimate battle with a planeswalker named Garrick Wildspeaker.
And I believe this version, now you can actually customize your decks.
Oh, okay.
Like, full on, I believe. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of card counts they have on this one, because that's kind of been the big limit on it in the past.
Yeah.
It's been fun unlocking the cards through the different modes, but other than that.
Okay.
Very cool.
There is one other game. I plopped it down just in case you didn't read it. And I'll read the description, and you'll find out why I included it in this. All right. It's Super Panda Adventures for the PC.
Okay.
So in Super Panda Adventures, you play as the brave panda knight, Fu, who is about to finish his training to become the new guardian of the princess. At the same day of the big celebration party, some uninvited robots show up to conquer the planet and take the princess away in their spaceships. The game plays like a modern platformer combined with a new combo fighting style and lots of adventure elements. And that is for the PC. So I think you can kind of understand why. Threw that one in just in case. Perhaps. You know. And something else that's important, radio stream. Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio? Stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And remember, if you're using any of the apps, search for the call letter.
Yeah, KSU.
Because there are lots of 103.3s.
Across the nation. Yes.
Just a little pro tip out there.
Very true. Very true.
And very pro. Very pro.
So that brings us to our comic releases for this week.
Now the comic shop's really like, all right, you better get this right.
we'll see what comes up from the majors. DC, it's Robin Rises Omega number one. The end, I'm honestly between The Great Detective, that's Batman for those who aren't paying attention, and Ra's al Ghul is about to hit a fevered pitch as the hunt for Robin concludes. But the grudge match may have to wait as the denizens of Apocalypse have made their presence known.
Oh,
yes. In the name of Darkseid or something like that. then across town at Marvel, it's the 100th anniversary special, X-Men number one.
Whoa.
It's a very long title. it seems that in the year 2061, the balance of humans and mutants has been achieved. So the question is, does the world still have a place for the X-Men?
Ooh. What does Magneto...
Let's hope yes. Right.
Now that Magneto doesn't have anything to complain about, what does he do?
Indeed.
He opens up a shop.
Yeah.
Becomes a movie critic.
Yeah.
Something. From IDW, it's Borderlands, Fall of Firestone, number one.
Ah.
Four Vault Hunters, whose names may be familiar, Roland, Mordecai, Lilith, and Brick, have arrived at Firestone and, well, Pandora's not quite the place they thought it was. Furthermore, Bandit with Nine Toes. The Bandit Nine Toes wants there to be a little less competition for control of Firestone. Out here on the West Coast at Image, it's The Wicked and the Divine, number two. Lucifer is riding high as a pop star, but when her stardom is threatened, she offers her number one fan, Laura, a deal. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, just ask Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Then from Boom Studios... I forgot to put around the title for that one. Ray Willis is... I'll look that one up and I'll get back to you. Everything but the title. Well done. Yes, right. I was running out the door.
Nah, that's fine. Because we're moving on to everyone's favorite part of the new releases, especially mine, because it is where I butcher everyone's name. Hooray!
Yay! International pronunciations for the win.
Woohoo! All right, so some new releases in music. We've got this one from, a little-known dude, I would say. He's got a weird name. Weird Al Yankovic. Woo! Mandatory Fun. The latest release for the musical humorist Weird Al Yankovic features parodies of songs sung by Iggy Azalea, Imagine Dragons, Lord, Robin Thicke, and Pharrell Williams. And then we have Morrissey's new album, World Peace is None of Your Business.
Ooh.
The 10th solo studio release for the British indie singer-songwriter was produced by Joe Ciccarelli and recorded in France.
There you go.
Then we
you
have...
You pronounced France right.
Yes! Woo! Or is it France?
Either way. We're in America, so...
That's true.
We're allowed to say just France.
That's true. All right.
Putting emphasis on the different syllable.
I like it. All right. Don't do that, phone. Then we have Jason Mraz's new album, Yes! It's got an exclamation point, so it's supposed to be like, yes!
Yeah.
Excitement, I guess. The fifth full-length release for the singer-songwriter includes a cover of Boyz II Men's It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. Then we have Rise Against's new album, The Black Market, the 7th full-length studio release for the Chicago punk. Why does my phone do that? I have the list on my phone and it keeps shooting up. The punk band was produced by Bill Stevenson and Jason Livermore. And finally, we have Honeyblood, self-titled.
Okay.
Makes it a little easier. The debut full-length release for the Scottish indie pop duo of Stina Twiddale and... Sana McVicar was produced by Peter Kattis. Right.
There you
well
go.
Done. Well done.
So there you go. So, oh, did you find the,
yes,
the
I did.
Title?
I found the title of the from Boom Studios. It's Black Market number 1 of 4. Ray Willis is well down on his luck, and all that could go wrong probably kind of has. He is a talented scientist, but is now preparing bodies for a funeral parlor. Then he's offered the opportunity offered an opportunity from a most unexpected source. It's a chance to eradicate all disease. The catch is that the secret is locked in the DNA of the superheroes.
Oh.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Hmm. That Indeed. Sounds crazy. Madness will ensue, I think.
Very likely.
All right, so I believe that's going to do it for the new releases. A little handful, a little sampling out there.
Yes.
Obviously, if you want to find out more, there's this little thing called the internet that I think everyone knows about by now.
Yeah.
If you're at a certain age.
Yes.
You can find lists of things by Googling or Binging or Yahooing or...
use your search tool of choice to find lists.
We don't discriminate when it comes to search engines.
Nope.
Here,
technology is fun.
Robots
use
Attack.
It all.
Yeah. Because eventually the robot's going to take over us anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
Although if Hotbot does still exist, maybe we shouldn't be. I don't know.
That's true. But, you know, eventually they're going to use... They've got all the search engines tagged, learning everything that we search, and, you know, we'll eventually use that to take us over. But hey.
That's true.
Apparently it still exists.
Nice.
And still run by Lycos. Who knew? Anyways... There you go.
Nice.
And they're from search.
See, if you learned anything from tonight's show, you learned that
Hotbot still exists.
Still exists. There you go. All right. That's going to do it for the new releases. We're going to take a music break. And after that, we're going to come back with the news. Shall we tease the folks some news? Keep them on the edge of their seat, car seat, or
how
desk
about
seat
the
or...
blackest thing you've ever seen?
Hmm. Interesting.
We have a big dog running with the Marines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm. I know I'm intrigued. I hope you're intrigued out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb.
Yes?
Let's give him one last time. Well, not one last time. Let's give him another chance to participate on the show before
That's
we go
right.
to that music break.
Before we jump to music, if you wish to, you know... give us your input, give us some feedback, like Wow Cool did. You can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. It's all one word. Or you can find us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/Robots Attack Show. And then there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, our own website, robotsattack.me. Leave comments there. Check out cool archived episodes or find links to the aforementioned places to interact with us.
Simple, easy, and lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Wow Cool Comics is having a good time communicating with us.
Yeah, they actually just sent us a comic recommendation
nice.
From another one you might consider adding in your pull list. Vile Decay is what it's called. And... It's an Image comic, and it's from Malachi Ward.
Nice.
So there you go.
Well, yeah. So check them out. Thanks again for participating on the show. You too can do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the ways that Caleb mentioned. All right. Let's get to that music break. I'm going to play a new track from the latest Black Keys album called Year in Review from the album Turn Blue. I've never heard this track before. I hope it's good. It's got to be better than one of the songs that Robo GJ was playing earlier called like Country Polka Funk or something. It was the weirdest
awesome.
Thing. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
It sounds
like,
very odd.
Well, there goes any of our listeners. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to that music and then we'll be back with the news here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. And now it's time for some...
news.
That's right. We are in the news portion of Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Excuse me. I believe Caleb has our first story.
I do. It is... comes from the headlines of CNET, and it is about a new material that is the darkest, most absorbent material made thus far.
Wesley Snipes?
No. Now this is a now you wonder if you, in case you're like wondering why would you need a material that is the blackest thing you've ever seen, because why is it important? Because well, with solar technology kind of being one of the ways we're hoping to make renewable energy, a material that absorbs as much energy from the sun as it possibly can is very, very important, especially if you can get beyond just the optical light spectrum into like IR, infrared, or ultraviolet colors. You know, then you're absorbing even more energy from the sun, which can transmit to whatever material you're using to generate your electricity.
Makes sense.
But yeah, this material is called Vantablack, and it absorbs 99.96% of what they call incident radiation, which seems thus far to be the highest anyone has ever recorded. A material collecting. The company that makes it is Surrey Nanosystems in the UK. And it is like
it's pretty black.
Yeah, the picture really doesn't do it justice, because like there's almost no reflection on this thing because it's just absorbing that much light.
Right. Yeah, it makes me wonder, like a lot of blacks, you put them out in the sun and it sort of turns grayish in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's really glossy, in which case it's more likely that you're just seeing your own reflection in it.
Right.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this stacks up, because that's a pretty high percentage, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
They should get Wesley Snipes to be the spokesperson for it. Now, I say that because Passenger 57 always been on black.
That's true.
Everybody knows that guy's catchphrase from that movie. So
everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So don't send your letters. I figured I'd explain myself there.
Probably safe.
Yeah.
Good call.
Passenger 57. Cool. Watch it. Always been on black.
I'm betting on black right now.
Good. See, you've learned something else from tonight's show.
Speaking of other things that are also black, something called Big Dog is officially running with U.S. Marines. If you're not familiar.
The clothing brand?
Maybe also underneath the fatigues or whatnot. I can't tell for sure. But this Big Dog is also painted black, so it fits with that.
Nice.
But it's basically a tag-along robot that ends up following Marines to be able to carry whatever sort of support goods that they need in order to complete their missions.
Okay.
So it's basically water, ammunition, all of that sort of stuff. It's been a test case for a long time, but they finally started using it in the field in the Navy and Marine tests on the Hawaiian Islands this last week. So it actually has some pretty good footage here that we're going to throw down on the Facebook page. But it's really something, because you've never seen anything this big kind of walking along in sort of an odd gait before. And all of the Marines are just walking around like it's no big deal that this giant robot thing is just tagging along with them. The name Big Dog, it kind of fits with the original incarnation, but at this point, right. it's like a full-on ox, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, the name is only reminiscent of what it originally was in some of the old DARPA videos.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy watching this big robot just walking through the grass like it's nothing. The closest thing it reminds me of that people may have seen if they're into movies like this is in Battle Los Angeles, I believe.
Battle LA, yeah.
LA. Like the sort of enemy alien things. They ended up at one point having this sort of walker gun type of thing.
Oh, yeah, the walking mounted weapon?
Yeah, some sort of gun emplacement type of thing. But it has sort of the same gait to it. Like it walks around the same sort of... Uh-huh. It walks well, mm-hmm. but it's like weird and awkward at the same time. So
the legs don't move quite like a natural leg would move.
Right, like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah, a DARPA initiative that came to fruition. That's
it's really cool. Pretty close to actual use if they're testing it in something this big.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from some cool news,
mm-hmm.
both and like your story involved Black Dog, which. See now,
right.
They should get Led Zeppelin song Black Dog, mm-hmm. even though they never say Black Dog in it. But
yeah,
okay.
People in the know will be like, "Oh, that's clever." That's mm-hmm. clever. Mm-hmm. You know, when they hear it on the
you
TV
need to do the Arnold impression, saying that's yeah, clever.
It's very clever.
Or maybe it's on the boombox that's on top of the robot where it's walking around.
There you go. See, that's why Caleb's here. He's got the brain, he's got the ideas.
Mm-hmm. The brain.
So now my story involves a black box.
Oh,
that box
nice.
Being the Xbox. But mm-hmm, mm-hmm. this is sad news, gentlemen.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay.
And ladies out there listening. Microsoft is closing down Xbox Entertainment Studios.
What?
But
I already.
That won't affect Halo TV or Halo Nightfall.
Uh-huh.
Recode broke the story about Xbox Entertainment Studios. Shuttering, which head of Xbox Phil Spencer has since confirmed, quote, "I hope you have had a chance to read today's mails from Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft. I wanted to take a moment to share a few thoughts on what this means for our team and some of the changes we are making as a result. As part of the planned reduction to our overall workforce announced today and in light of our organization's mission," which, yeah, that was another story they mm-hmm. let go of a decent little chunk of yeah. people. "We plan to streamline a handful of portfolio and engineering development effects across Xbox. One such plan is that in the coming months, we expect to close Xbox Entertainment Studios. However, the closure of Xbox TV won't affect a few of the studio's upcoming projects, most notably Halo TV or Halo Nightfall. In addition, the upcoming documentary series Signal to Noise, which has a first episode about Atari, is still coming. If you remember back when they went and dug up the E.T.
right.
yeah,
games,
I remember that.
That was part of that documentary series.
Okay.
And while Xbox Entertainment Studios is closing, a few of the key members from the company will stay on to oversee these productions, including Nancy Tillum, who was in charge of the TV endeavor. She was hoping to bring a Game of Thrones-like production to Xbox.
Right.
Quote, "Nancy Tillum, Jordan Levin, and some of the Xbox Entertainment Studios team will stay on and remain committed to original programming already in production," a Microsoft spokesperson told IGN, which is where I grabbed this story from. Spencer also noted that nothing has changed in regard to Microsoft's commitment to entertainment apps on Xbox. Quote, "Our app partnerships with world-class content providers bringing entertainment, sports, and TV content to Xbox customers around the world are not impacted by this organizational change in any way and remain an important component of our Xbox strategy," he said. "The Halo TV series is expected to premiere late next year, while Halo Nightfall will be packaged with Halo, the Master Chief Collection later this year. And I believe they're going to show off a little bit of that at Comic-Con this year."
Uh-huh.
So right. definitely for fans of television and movies and that sort of sides of entertainment, like myself and I'm and you gents as well, I think this is some sad news to hear because some of the projects they'd mentioned before sounded pretty cool. And it's neat seeing other companies sort of branch out into original content like Netflix and whatnot. Maybe if they were able to partner with another distribution brand or something, maybe that could have helped, or I don't know.
Yeah, but the bigger question to me is that it it seems like they're obviously planning on using the money that they were going to pump into that someplace else. And so I'm wondering what that's gonna end
what
up
that
going to
end up
to.
Being. Yeah, it's true. But yeah, sad news for a lot of people that were probably hired fairly recently for a lot of those projects coming up, and now
That was not long ago at all. It didn't seem like
Well, they just when they first announced the Xbox One, they announced the media things with it.
Yeah,
and that was
that's kind of
barely a year ago.
and that's kind of another thing too. You're like, you know, when it was first announced, it was kind of knocked for the first thing out of the boat was, you know, a lot of kind of TV entertainment related stuff, and now that they're cutting away from some of that, it's like, wait, your messaging is starting to change. But
but at the same time, that's they've been kind of pushing in a more games oriented direction for the messaging with the recent CEO change and all that stuff. So it's still in line with that change, even if it's sort of a unfortunate change from their original messaging.
We'll see too if this how this affects on Sony's side, because they're still doing original entertainment. If they're gonna continue to do it and possibly grow now that they won't have much in the way of competition as far as Xbox. I mean, it sounds like they'll have the, you know, the Halo shows, but after about that, there really won't be that much. So we'll see. You know, if it gets quite popular on Sony's end, if that changes Microsoft's.
Yeah, and maybe Microsoft will partner with somebody else so that they're not completely on the hook for figuring it all out, but they're, you know, sponsoring it. So it'd be an exclusive to Xbox and Microsoft, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hard to say. Well, from unfortunate news to fascinating news, we go from dinosaur news to dinosaur news. News of, like, old as in, like, the old messaging.
Okay.
To nice. New dinosaur. Scientists have found a new dinosaur which looks to be capable of flight with four wings and unusually long tail feathers.
Huh.
Like this they're calling it the Chang Uraptor, I believe. I probably butchered that painfully.
Those long dead dinosaurs are like shaking their fists in their grave.
They We're probably oil. Didn't approve of the name in the first place.
Yeah. So. We're oil now, but don't darn you.
Right, don't you know my name is Edward?
the fossil was found in northern China, and the group says that it's a two-part name. Anyway, this creature has sharp teeth and claws, which indicated it was most likely a carnivore.
Okay.
Researchers
mostly
come at night. Mostly could fly. They couldn't.
Did they really come at night?
No, don't know for sure. Since we only have the fossils, like the precision of knowledge about it is still being unlocked. They couldn't quite tell what its diet was. It was most likely fish or birds, but
Dino DNA. I had to do it.
Yeah,
nice.
Which they found some things in it in the fossils of its stomach, but you know, it's you know, unsure. They don't know for certain until they find more. And since it's the first of its kind, it's like
right.
Yeah, we're still working out what it's going to be.
Fossilized fettuccine.
So the name like translates into long feathered raptor, which is long feathered meat eating bird. Which interestingly enough, that's what the raptors and the velociraptor is the same basis for the name.
Right. Except with velocity.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like it's fast and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
The why did it try and reload my page? Stupid internet.
The internet is turning against us here tonight on Robots Attack.
The fossil documents that the dinosaur flight was not limited to the very small, but ones of large size, and also and being four winged. It's like that's like the stuff that we'd normally see in a science fiction film like Avatar. right. specific. Like that one had four winged creatures.
Was it four or six on that one? I can't remember.
I think they had both.
Okay.
Like the big one was six or whatever. But the multi-winged animals beyond two, I should say.
Right, right.
Was sort of a kind of like science fiction realm. But now we've got found one that's on our doorstep, relatively speaking, that did that. That's kind of cool.
How large is it again? Or
the wingspan was about 20 to 24 feet.
That is pretty big.
Mm-hmm. So the it's just really cool that we're, as much as we know about our planet, we know so very little about our planet at the same time.
Right, right. Well, from the flexibility of dinosaurs to grow feathers to the flexibility of your television screen.
Television screens can flex?
Well, this one can.
Oh, snap.
LG has been messing around with one of the main components of the OLED technology for a long time, and that's that you can possibly make it flexible.
Mm-hmm.
They've been making them bigger and bigger and bigger, and today, well, not today, but in this day and age, they herald the 18-inch completely flexible OLED screen.
So we'll finally get our dream of, like, the Red Planet, like, flexible display?
It's pretty much looking that way, because this can actually wrap into a cylinder roughly just over an inch. So that's pretty tight.
That's, yeah.
And, yeah, it's pretty nifty seeing this. It still has to have one edge that is connected to the meat and bones and potatoes and whatnot.
The power source and the processor.
Right. And so far, we have not figured out how to make a full-featured screen that just is the flexy stuff and nothing else. We'll get there eventually, I'm sure, in a decade or so.
But the fact that we're as close as we are is pretty impressive.
Right. LG is pretty optimistic that within the next year, they will have a 60-inch 4K flexible display.
What?
Whoa.
We'll see if that happens, but because they've been promising flex displays for a long time now, but they are basically doubling the size of these flex displays every time they show one off. So
I think one of the 4K TVs that's available right now that has the curved screen has a button which you can click and it will like flatten out or do the curve thing. So
that's kind of
flexible.
Yeah, that's kind of nifty.
So maybe they'll make a truly flexy screen. That'd be very cool. I would look forward to that. Titans Technology, we salute you.
Right. I'm just waiting for one that you literally pull it out of the ceiling or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it rolls up like a curtain. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think that could be pretty nifty.
Or the one that the entertainment center, like, you know, they have they've made the ones where you're like your TV can drop down into them and hide, but you lose all that space. Now it just rolls up into the top of it, the back edge.
Yeah. Yeah, the other component that's kind of neat about this version of it is that it's actually on clear plastic, so you can superimpose it on whatever.
Hmm.
And so it's a nifty little trick that'll be interesting to see if they can leverage it in interesting or useful ways. Like, maybe have it so you can superimpose it on a piece of paper and have other interesting material pop up about that piece of paper, etc.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe, like, wrap it over add sensors to it and wrap it over an injury and get an instant inside view of what's going on.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's like sci-fi right there.
I'm like, that's like, that would be pretty rad, I think.
I feel like I've seen that in a movie someplace, but not quite.
I'm sure someone's come up with something kind of like that.
It's kind of Prometheus-ish right there.
A little bit.
Anyway, we'll stop talking about flexible screens.
You'll stop flexing.
We'll stop flexing our screens.
The beach is over there.
Oh.
Right. For the listening audience, he's flexing right now.
he's flexing here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, on Robots Attack. So,
who wanted to go to the gun show?
Oh,
dude,
your muscles are huge, they're gigantic. I love them.
Yes,
you need to put some oil on them, rub them down.
Who doesn't?
Me?
Come on, do it.
Stop it.
Do it
you know you want to. Don't deny it.
Get the oil out. Rub it down now.
See, mostly why I'm disturbed by this joke is that this is usually what I'd be terrorizing you guys with. So
tables have turned.
Right, yeah.
Now.
I feel oddly uncomfortable.
The shoe is on the other foot this time.
This time, the oil is in your court.
That's not good, Caleb. That's not any sort of good
anyway.
Image.
So I got this story, and there's this place called Thalmic Labs, and they're working on this band that you put on your arm, right?
Okay.
And it'll give you
the flexible display that we were talking about.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, it'll give you the power of the force.
Ooh.
Okay.
Sort of.
Right. So what type of force?
You know, like Jedi's and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So,
I thought it was going to
force or velocity or
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Not Terminal Velocity starring Charlie Sheen. No.
Okay.
The power of Terminal Velocity.
Charlie Sheen. You thought he was great in Navy SEALs. Now his Terminal Velocity.
Right. With a full 12 volts of power.
Yeah.
A bursting 12 volts. Okay. I'm sorry.
Continue. No. It's fine. It's fine. So, they're creating this band that you can wear on your arm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make it as comfortable as possible so you can kind of wear it like all day under your clothes and stuff like that.
Okay. Right.
And like all of our stories, we link them on our Facebook page and tweet them out. And there's video and then there are pictures and everything that accompany a lot of our stories. And this one included has some video demonstrating some things as well as showing off the band and some of the new redesigns that they're trying to do to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it like it's MYO. So I don't know if it's like Mayo or
Mio,
Mio or
Mio,
Mio or something, but,
meow.
Maybe. It works sort of, okay. It measures the electric signals your muscles are about to make, understanding the gesture before you even actually make a real hand gesture.
That's creepy.
It knows you'll rotate your hand to turn up the volume before you actually rotate it.
What?
So yeah, there's way more sciencey stuff to the story, and me not being
I would hope so.
Guy, yeah, I'm not going to bore or not so much bore, but like bore you with reading a bunch of things over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find out a ton more, it's really cool. Hit up our Facebook page, Robots Attack Show on Facebook, or we'll tweet it out the link along with the other stories, and you can see. Goes into more details and that actually has videos and stuff like that. But, you know, so there's even a video of them combining it with an Oculus Rift. The chances of, you know, using this thing with other forms of technology, maybe even the Flex TV.
Right.
Thing. Ooh, so, yeah. That'd be cool.
So, yeah. So there you go. It's, we're getting closer. You know, we won't be able to like fling people across the room or like, you know, crazy Jedi stuff,
right?
Force chokes, right, and all that things.
But knowing you, you wouldn't choose to have those abilities anyway. So.
It's true. It's true.
Dark side are they? Of walking under the underpass, forever will it control your destiny, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. You're right, Yoda. I love it when you talk with the weird words and backwards and forwards and.
Sir, you realize we're on a battlefield. It'd be good to like give us directions that are. Straightforward and clear. I thought you'd give me to think about.
We're dead.
Yeah. It's all about keeping your troops on their toes.
Yes.
Speaking of toes, does anyone have a story that?
Not quite toes, but it's a new material that is it's a 3D printed phase changing material.
Oh, okay.
Which comes from MIT, big surprise.
From MIT.
There are a bunch of smart people there. And the
some.
Mm-hmm. And the Max Planck Institute for Dynamics and Self-Organization of Stony Brook University. But what this stuff does is under pressure, it will change its shape and bend and move, but won't necessarily like unmake itself. It isn't crushed or it just kind of like reforms into a new shape in response to the pressures or signals placed upon it. So with that, you could make things that are soft robots, things that could, how we as mostly fleshy things can like squeeze through areas if we like, you know, suck it in and stuff like that. But now, with this material, you could potentially make a robot that would do a similar thing without having to make a very small robot. You can make it larger and then it would just compress or bend and move and adjust itself to fit the situation.
So it would make a robot that's very difficult to run away from.
Yes. It also would make a robot that would be very good at getting into, say, a collapsed building.
Right.
Or a mudslide, a surrounded house. And
well, if you believe in helpful robots, I suppose.
I, for one, welcome our future robot overlords. No. But yeah, things... It's a really bizarre thing to watch this material like respond to the different like pressures and materials around it.
Yeah, and it's a weird tech too. It's made of foam and wax. I would have never guessed that they'd figure out how to make something like that work, but apparently they figured out how to actually harden and soften the wax at will.
Yeah,
it's pretty nifty.
Oh. Yeah, and it could even go to the point that it might create a self-healing robot, like one that would be able to absorb an impact of some sort or another and then like respond into returning to its original shape.
Right.
No, keep it away from the candles. No.
As so it makes some sort of weird regenerative sound, like.
Anyway. Okay. I gotcha.
Right. But this is one of the scary robots from my fantasy.
Yeah.
It would be nice if a helpful robot stole your candles to fix itself.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then created electric lights to fill your space with low-cost LED lighting or something like that.
Right. I mean, to be in exchanging and stuff. Anyway, we'll jump away from that for a second and go to a kind of an interesting trend in the U.S. military that I had no idea about until an article came out from the nice folk at Gizmodo. The U.S. military has been facing pretty big challenges with how to make a rapid response type of vehicle that is large enough to be a home base and be able to react to whatever is happening around the world. There's only so much that you can do on an aircraft carrier without infringing on the actual operations of an aircraft carrier, but you still need something fairly big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of the solution was out there already, and that's that people have giant cargo ships that exist that already cost like millions of dollars, but they're already built and they're for hire. So the U.S. military apparently for a good chunk of time has been quietly rebuilding the interiors of these cargo ships to make them into offshore bases for special forces operations. Cool. So basically, it ends up coming down to them upgrading most of the normal systems to make it better at dealing with, communicating with satellites, better at finding radar signatures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of an interesting trend, kind of using what's at hand instead of building things from scratch in order to make a giant aircraft carrier or something like that, specifically for the special forces, especially when their role is going to change so often anyway, that you might as well have it be something that if a better ship for that role comes along, that they can just adopt that one. And it seems to be working pretty well because it ends up giving steady employment to these giant ships also. Pretty much everybody's happy as far as I can tell, except for people that end up on the wrong end of one of these special forces groups.
Yeah, but if you find yourself fighting on special forces, you probably are I don't know. That's a situation nobody wants to be in, no matter who you are. Nobody wants that.
Reasonably sure. The current big one out there, which I'm surprised that we know anything about, to be honest, just because kind of the genius of it, too, is that it just looks like a cargo ship floating out in the ocean. Mm. But apparently the big one that's out there right now has already been converted to handle everything up to Apache gunships, Navy patrol helicopters, V-22 Ospreys, and, of course, an entire bevy of UAVs and ISR platforms, and apparently can hold up to 200 troops for these operations. So this is not a small deal.
No, that is...
This is a well-converted ship.
That is not a very small ship either.
No.
I'm sure it can't carry all of that at once, but carrying any number of that's pretty impressive. Like, yeah, wow.
Most but yeah, impressive. It sounds like the military is going to pursue this sort of operational craft much more often in the future.
Seems like a not unreasonable course of action.
Reduce, recycle, reuse.
Right. Although these are brand spanking new ships, but I mean, this one even looks pretty cool. I'll be honest, it's the coolest looking cargo ship I think I've ever seen. But anyway.
There you go. Alrighty. sponsored by the City of Santa Clara Cultural Commission's Breaking Out of the Box art exhibit opened on April 17th, 2014. The exhibition is juried by members of the Cultural Commission and staff from the Triton Museum of Art. It fills the corridors of City Hall with a wide variety of beautiful and thought-provoking sculptures. Admission is free, and the Triton Museum of Art is conveniently located across the street. Stop by and enjoy lovely works of art by some of the finest artists in Northern California. For more information and operating hours, call 408-615-2110.
Art's in the box. Art's in the box.
No, it's out of the box.
I was waiting. I was waiting if someone was going
to
do it.
I had to figure out what angle I was going to attack that one from.
I like it. I like it.
I've already used that quote once today on somebody else. So.
Nice. Reduce, recycle, reuse.
Exactly.
Yes. You're on Robots Tech. Okay, so I've got our last stories of the night. Why I say stories is because they're two stories, but they relate to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Comic books, television show, more casting for Netflix Daredevil.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
So first, Falling Skies vet cast in major role. Actor Peter Shinkoda has joined the cast of Netflix upcoming Daredevil series, first of four Marvel series headed to the streaming site. That will lead into a Marvel's Defenders miniseries. As Deadline reports, Shinkoda will play a major reoccurring role on the series named Hakuro. No other formal details are known at this time. Shinkoda is formerly of TNT's Falling Skies and played Sector in the Warner Brothers web series Mortal Kombat Legacy. So yeah, there's a picture of him in the story. So if you see it, if you're familiar with the show,
yeah,
I'd be like, oh, okay. I know that guy. Now, the other casting news for Daredevil. True Blood actress joins Daredevil as Karen Page.
So interesting.
Deborah Ann Woll, who plays the vampire Jessica on True Blood, has joined the cast of Netflix Daredevil series as Karen Page. As EW.com reports, Woll's role is essentially the female lead of the series, Karen Page being Matt Murdock slash Daredevil's longest-running love interest in the comic books. There, she served as Murdock's secretary and legal aide until, well, things got messy, both romantically and Daredevil-y.
I was waiting for that
superhero-ish.
Woll joins Charlie Cox as Murdock slash Daredevil. Eldon Henson as Foggy Nelson. Vincent D'Onofrio. D'Onofrio.
It's not that difficult.
No, it's not from now. As Wilson Fisk and Rosario Dawson as a mysterious young woman trying to bring justice to Hell's Kitchen. That one Gordon Ramsay guy's not going to like that. He brings the justice to Hell's Kitchen.
That's right.
Oh, man, one person out there laughed at that. Thank
with
you,
an
one person.
Iron skillet.
So there you go. Some more casting news for Daredevil TV series, which... I hope that and the other ones are working on. I hope they're good.
It sounds absolutely daredevilish.
Oh.
Thank you. Yes.
One person out there laughing at too.
Right. Well, I can't say I'll be here all
maybe.
Week.
Yeah, probably not. There's Well, I mean,
I can say it.
If you got a little like sleeping bag, you could put it in the studio in the corner.
There, yeah, there
like,
is
behind
that corner.
There.
Yeah.
No one will see it. You'd probably freak somebody out too. Like,
yeah, just DJ'd randomly hear snoring.
Yeah. Hey, well, how's it going? Oh my god!
You know you can't sleep in here, but why?
I don't understand.
It's lovely.
There's a phone.
There's
music.
Yeah, exactly. Put yourself right to sleep. It's nice. Mm-hmm.
I'm surrounded by ever so much vinyl.
A lot of vinyl. Yep. A lot of vinyl. Lot. All right. So that's going to do it for the news portion of Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Fear not, it's not too late. If you missed any of those news stories, Caleb, how can they check them out as well as participate on the show?
Well, that's right. You can catch up on our stories and news by hitting up our Facebook page or our Twitter account. Our Facebook page is at facebook.com/robotsattackshow. And Twitter is twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one word. And if you want to email us, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And then we have our own website, robotsattack.me, which has links to everything else I've mentioned and is the one place to find everything to do with us, including archive episodes of our show. It's good stuff.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a music break and then come back with some geek talk. Here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack. Thanks for listening. Keep us locked on your dial.
Locked
keep tuned in.
Radio terms and things. Yeah. We're professionals. Yeah. Play the music.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. And never be without the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are now in Geek Talk. This is where we kick back and talk about stuff that we like and is fun.
What we've been geeking out about.
Exactly.
Recently.
And I've been geeking out about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
I saw it over the weekend. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
As good as the first?
Yeah, they're different. Like the first one, there's a lot more. I don't want to say substance, but there's a lot more to it.
Okay,
a little more like philosophical, introspective, or just
there's just this one because a lot of a good chunk of time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
It now a lot of it focuses on the apes.
Okay,
you know, whereas like Rise, you know, was about Caesar, but like. You know, the company and the, you know, the stuff that turned him in to, you know, who he became and that sort of stuff. And this one, it's, the story is basically about a group of humans that are in San Francisco. They want to go and turn on a dam to bring power back to the city.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the apes are where the dam is. And so...
Conflict
ensues, but yeah, like Andy Serkis, awesome as usual, no surprise there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
nobody frowns like Andy Serkis.
Yeah, but yeah, the effects, like the apes, the gorillas, the orangutan, just them like riding on the horses, like it was. I mean,
that's just funny for me to even think about.
if you're a fan, if you liked Rise, I don't see why you wouldn't like Dawn. Uh-huh. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Cool.
And I saw it in San Francisco at a theater. I think it's called the Kabuki Theater.
Yeah, that's in Japantown.
In Japantown, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That was interesting theater. Like, it's not really like your sort of typical multiplex kind of looking. Like it.
Right.
I don't know exactly how to describe it, but they use a lot of, it was like wood and they just, there's like, it's like multiple levels, like a lot of things in San Francisco. And on some of the levels, they'll actually have like little sort of like bars kind of like little mini bar areas. So they kind of just seem to be catering it a little more towards, not to say not to exclude families, but
right,
you know,
it's intended to, as what I remember of like the kabuki was kind of like for like art house stuff. So it's not necessarily it was intended more for that kind of thing. Like they still do like major motion pictures like Rise or Dawn. But
I'm sure maybe they had Rise too. But
they tend to want it. They were one of the early ones to do sort of the like elevated style of movie going. It's not just, you know, popcorn on the floor and your shoes stick as you walk down the aisles.
It actually had like assigned seating. Like when we got the tickets, they had a little screen. It was like, okay, pick. And so we picked these two, and then it turned out to be like perfect because they were like right in the center. It didn't really look like it was straight in the center, but when we got this, like, whoa, these are perfect. All right. We scored.
Choosing your seats in a theater. Man, I wish other theaters would get on that because that's such a nice feature.
Yeah, it can be handy, especially for a theater geared towards that.
Yes.
But I think it's also tied to Sundance. So a lot of like Sundance kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I recommend the film. And if we do get into the core, it sort of ties into the core topic. So I wanted to make sure to bring it up. But that's what I've been geeking out on lately. How about you, gents?
I'm gonna jump straight into one that
jump on in.
I know Caleb and I have talked about a little bit already, and that's that they've unveiled a ton of stuff for comic books in the last little while.
Yeah, Marvel's been release heavy about what they're working on.
Right, and I was actually thinking even beyond Marvel, because what kind of snapped in my brain, or not snapped, but jumped to my brain.
Clicked.
Just completely snapped.
Oh, brain.
No, a week or so back, they released the new design for the Batgirl costume. And I thought it was really interesting, kind of a new take on it, more of like you can be Batgirl type of thing.
Right.
And of course it's, I think the thing that people like the most about it is that it's not a complete like full on sparkly latex costume or something like that.
Like some of the other ones have been.
Right. Well, like most superhero costumes have been.
Yeah.
But it definitely looks like something that somebody can put together with a few dollars and a good surplus store.
Or connections, or know someone that has connections to like a police armory or where to find, stuff like that.
Right.
Since Barbara Gordon is Chief Commissioner Gordon's
daughter.
Yeah,
that's true. I hadn't even really thought about that.
Spoilers!
Right. So yeah, I just thought it was really interesting because a lot of people are really psyched about this costume. And I think it's pretty cool, but I don't quite understand like the completely being psyched out about it personally. And I don't have any problem with it or anything like that. But it's kind of interesting because I think the big thing is that it's not trying to oversell sexiness in the character. It's a very much like she's a girl out adventuring type of thing.
Okay.
And so the costume definitely conveys that more than anything else. And so it's cool that they kind of give props to not over sexualizing a character, but at the same time it's not like they changed the way she looks. She's still a very attractive person. So it just seems like a weird kind of trade-off for me. It's like, well, they kind of stepped things in one direction really nicely, but it's not like they were going to make her like a complete and total dork or overweight or anything like that. So
yeah, they do seem like they're playing up some of the teenagerness of Barbara Gordon a bit more, like with her like using smartphone. Like one of the images here is her snapping a selfie of herself in the costume, and
right.
Like,
oh, okay.
So it's interesting.
Sophie juxtaposition that with the new Thor,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was moving on to as well. Is that it seems like there's been all of this stuff that it's people are trying to inject diversity and a little bit more down-to-earth stuff into comic books lately. And the Thor thing, in case you haven't heard, I'm sure a fair number of you have, that Thor is going to be female now. And they came out with a pretty cool design. I'm pretty happy with it. I think the armor needs a little bit of tweaking. It looks a little bit too much like something that came off the back of a motorcycle or something like that to me.
Well, it's a little old school Valkyrie looking.
Right.
I've heard some people complaining about boob armor.
Well, it's funny. To me, I get it because, I mean, I even did the article on the show about, like, the impracticalities of boob armor. But this one in... it still is like boob armor, but it's not, it doesn't have the problems that would kill you for boob armor. So that's a step in the right direction.
Okay.
So I credit them with that. And
they thought that far through the design. That's
right.
Good.
But a lot of people are again pointing back to the new Batgirl costume is that, well, I mean, why even play up the boobs at all? You can just have outright armor and it would look just as cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'd like to see some more designs thrown around like that, too. And then, of course, I believe just today it was released that Captain America is now going to be the Falcon. So it's just going to be interesting seeing how much of this stuff ends up being actually like set in stone for long periods of time,
mm-hmm.
or if mm-hmm. it's just going to end up being kind of, well, we're trying to be a more reasonable, like user-friendly comic book industry for a little while.
Right.
So I have my doubts whether it's just like a little play to make people happy for a little while, mm. or whether it's going to be a permanent thing. Mm. And yeah,
I guess it depends on how long the story runs are right. for yeah. some of these. So we'll have to keep, we'll definitely keep our eye out on, and I'm sure the fine folks at Wow Cool Comics
right.
are keeping an eye on it as well. Or,
yeah, and I need to learn more about the stuff, too. I mean, they haven't actually said what the storyline is going to be that's going to create a female Thor yet. And I'm not sure what sort of superpowers are going to have to be added or whatnot to allow Falcon to be the next Captain America either. Or if it's just going to be, give him the shield and it's done. So
Yeah,
if they do, if they just give him the shield, and that'd be interesting, but all even when Bucky was standing in for Cap, he still had the cybernetic arm, which gave him like
right.
a little superpowered oomph. Like they probably would have to do something a little bit different if the Falcon steps in to be Captain America, because otherwise he's Nick Fury with a costume. Mm. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just, you know.
Well, I can imagine them doing some interesting stuff, like, since, I mean, the jump pack is kind of the big thing. If they have new vectored thrust that allows him to give stronger punches by the power of the jetpack or something like that. I can imagine that being pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be, like, an ace at throwing the shield. So, mm-hmm. at least not that I know of. Unless he's been practicing with Cap.
Yeah. He's been watching him for a number of years, but yeah, watching someone do something and being able to do it yourself, it's a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been watching Cap like throw the shield around for a number of years. I have yet to master that ability of bouncing the shield off of like 14 guys, rendering them unconscious. But I don't have super strength.
Yeah. None of us have been injected with a super soldier serum. So,
or have we?
Right, that we know of.
I don't know. Saying anything.
I'm marginally more powerful than the average person, I suppose. Not by much, but
yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I can use a sander one-handed. Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, completely moving on. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Nice. All right, so I think now, unless Caleb has anything, time to jump into the core?
Jump into the core.
Yeah. Alrighty.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Alrighty, we are now in the core here on Robots Attack on KSU San Clair 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I have this week's topic, and I sort of tease a little bit, mentioning that it tied in with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
You tease.
Hey, I try.
Yeah.
I tried.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Woo! All right, what do you got? What lay it on us.
So, EW, Entertainment Weekly, they a few issues back, they put out their Apocalypse issue.
Okay.
And as on the cover was Matt, the new Mad Max, some like first kind of images for it, which I'm super excited for. And apparently it's going to be shown off a little bit at this year's Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So it also went into why we have sort of this fascination with the Apocalypse and sort of chronicling from the very first one in like 1916 all the way through each decade and kind of how it's mirrored history and that sort of things, like what's been going on and tying kind of loosely with those sorts of things. And myself, I'm a big fan of like post-apocalyptic movies.
Right.
So I'm curious since, I mean, you know, when you think about them, they're usually pretty bleak. Like it's not really a world or a setting that you'd particularly want to exist in.
In a world where the world is destroyed.
Right.
But a lot of them are very popular and they continually keep making and kind of expanding on these new ideas. And so my question sort of as discussion is, why is that? Why do you think that that topic, you know, that setting is so popular for pop culture, entertainment, that sort of thing? I mean, you've got even like, you know, usually you think of, oh, you know, like they mentioned Day the Earth Stood Still all the way to like Hunger Games and Divergent, you know, some of the newer kind of ones now that are slightly different takes on, you know, post-apocalypse instead of your sort of normal like Mad Max setting. It's an entirely new setting, but
the dystopian future is a big part of science fiction.
So why do you think, I mean, I'm a fan. I don't know how big you guys are into that genre, but why do you think it seems to be a popular setting for lots of forms of entertainment?
I think it's a couple of things. Number one, there's part A is there's so many there's so many different flavors of apocalypse. That's kind of the starting point. I mean, you have alien apocalypse, you have zombie apocalypse, you have the dystopian future apocalypse, or
viral outbreak apocalypse.
Right, and they all have their own kind of strengths and weaknesses and different benefits for how it tweaks the storyline. But the thing that is consistent in all of them that I think is what's interesting and what makes up part B for me, or part one, or two. is I think there's a lot of people that look at their life like, well, this is kind of cool, but I don't feel like a hero or anything like that. And they look at something like that, as horrible as any of that stuff would be, a lot of people look at that as like, well, maybe I would step up and I would be something a little bit bigger, even though I wouldn't have superpowers or anything like that. If I survived, I think I have a chance of being something big if the world were that different.
Yeah, I think it also has to do with that sort of canvas, for lack of a better phrase, that setting lends itself, like you mentioned, there's different flavors, but they all inform different parts of the kind of story to be told and people telling the story. Like in the Mad Max, it's the Mad Max universe is sort of built on the purpose, the supposition that there's, you know, atomic apocalypse and you know, the survivors are just are
fuel are scarce.
And, yeah, and right. everyone's scraping by, and you know it creates that sort of like the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor sort of situations, and or then like in that it, you know in the
well, that makes it almost sound like nothing really changed.
Well, and that's part of the part of the appeal of these apocalypse stories is that it takes the world we know, and it just tweaks it and like it projects something onto it, but it's we can still relate. We can still recognize it for what it is. It's like right. even you know as weird as the world of Pan Am is in the Hunger Games trilogy. It's still a world that we can sort of relate to. We can still see it, and because we can still sort of recognize it. Another friend of mine did a kind of a.
Wait, you have other friends?
Yeah, another.
right. She wrote a blog. You better post. Hide them.
She wrote a post kind of talking about her fascination with dystopian literature, uh-huh. So I'm drawing on that a little bit, but it's like it's. It allows us to examine the flaws we see in this world, but they're exaggerated to a point that we can actually point at them and go, oh, if we keep going this way, this is a likely outcome. It's not a very likely outcome because we probably won't do that, but it's sort of like putting the warning sign down the road going, you don't want to go there and you don't want to go here because it's going to take people that are this hard and this cold to each other to survive in this world, and we don't want to go there.
Yeah,
it's
from what I've heard, and I haven't seen the movie yet, but it sounds like that's kind of the lesson that they're going for with the Snowpiercer movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yeah,
with all of the stuff that's happening, like what it will take to change that is quite possibly worse than what it was to begin with. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, like in the EW article that I mentioned, their sort of last little sentence thing relates to that. It's like, we've seen the cause of our ultimate demise, and it is us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot. It's like, in terms of, wait, we're the problems. We cause this. But yeah, like, I tried to think on it too. Like, okay, what draws me to, you know, Mad Maxes and
mm-hmm.
these
Last of Us.
Yeah, sorts of things. And yeah, I think I like sort of that aspect of like you're sort of this lone survivor. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of broken everything down pretty simple. Like, okay, you need this, this, and this. And like, yeah. so you got to go and get this, you got to get this, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. pull up here or survive this. And so like, that's kind of not to say like, I wish the world was like that, and by no means no, but
right.
there is sort of something appealing about that simplicity of
yes.
just
yes.
like, okay, you know, you need the X small, these small number of things. And so, you know, okay, this is how you go about doing them and this and there. And there's just, I don't know, I guess just sort of growing up and seeing like Max and, you know, like Kyle Reese and, you know, these others that are like, kind of grow up as the heroes in these mm-hmm. sort of dystopian futures, and it yeah. just sort of like, oh, like there's, I don't know, it's hard to sort of pinpoint that feeling, but it's just you mm-hmm. kind of get like that, like no, you're in charge of everything that you have to do.
Your destiny's in your own hands.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Up to a point.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. But yeah, and then I also kind of like seeing the different takes on it
mm-hmm.
on them as well. Like as you mentioned, like there's just so many possibilities of how ending the world,
right? yeah.
Say like, oh
it's
that's
limitless.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting take. Like, okay, this one is about some sort of biological warfare that happened or something. And so mm-hmm. the last of the survivors, you know, are immune to it, but this is how they get through it now and see,
right.
and like, do they resort to violence to get what they want? Or do they try to rebuild? Like there's, I read The Stand
mm-hmm.
some years back,
mm-hmm.
and there was an interesting section on it where they talked about, you know, the small group that were left. It's like, oh, so, okay, we're given this opportunity now to like basically rebuild society. So do we do it like we did it before? Like, do we start the government the same way? Or it's like, it posed these questions that usually movies or things maybe not have time to talk about but don't really address. So it was kind of interesting, like, oh, yeah, that is something. Like, you are now, you have this chance to kind of rebuild. Do you do it the same way or do you try something different? Or,
you know, and it's what's interesting about the Falling Skies series also, it because the sort of, well, arguably the main character is a historian. And an American history historian specifically, it ends up pretty interesting because he's like, yeah, definitely we build it the same way that we did before. I mean, obviously with some tweaks,
right?
Thankfully,
yeah.
but more or less, he stands up for trying to build the exact same system where people get elected the same ways and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is interesting from that standpoint with having all of these other ones where it completely changes the system. It, like the dystopian future, it ends up always being like some giant crazy government that's oppressing everybody. And that was the solution at some point. And I mean, and everything else is everything ends up getting whittled down so small that it's mob rule and that everything ends up falling apart because of it. But it's what I end up kind of appreciating about Falling Skies also is that it allows them to, while there is problems within their own group, it's still, it's positive instead of being really negative. And in, like, I absolutely love the Walking Dead series, which of course is probably one of the most popular of this sort of thing right now. But what always falls apart every single time in Walking Dead is that there's some guy that's a jerk. And it's always the answer for every single episode. Well, we had this good thing, but this jerk went and destroyed everything.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, that gets tiresome to me over time. And it's why I kind of end up personally getting away from this sort of stuff a lot, and probably why I end up liking Falling Skies a little bit more, is that it actually has like a positive thing for, well, it's the end of the world, but we're going to stand up and make the best out of it type of thing.
Yeah.
Conflict without destruction, so to speak.
Right, exactly.
And then, I think what that sort of has going for it too is the fact that it's, while there are humans that conflict with each other, like the bigger issue are the aliens that kind of most of them can rally behind. So that kind of helps that aspect. You know?
And in a weird sort of way, it's kind of cheating because, I mean, it's such a big thing that's like always there that is actually intelligent. So it's not like the zombies are going to band together and be like, you know, this isn't working, guys.
Maybe if we build a
flying machine or something like that.
Yeah. We'll build a very large wall and then
Right.
Or maybe that's what they're doing. We just don't understand them. But there's those couple of jerk zombies that just keep ruining
that's
it for
probably
everybody.
Exactly it. I never thought about that. Man, zombie movies have more depth than I ever imagined.
So, yeah, I'd say to wrap it up, we got a few minutes left. We'll go around and ask, what are some of your guys' sort of favorite movies or TV series or whatnot that are kind of set in this genre?
Recently, I watched Blade Runner. I think that's one of my favorites of, like, this dystopian future, partly because it's got so much style. Like, that movie, like, nails, like, kind of this idea of the almighty corporation and the people that it kind of breeds as a result of it.
Interesting. I guess I never would have thought of that as
dystopian.
It's not
necessarily apocalyptic, but it is dystopian. So maybe that's, maybe I'm answering the wrong question. Let's see. Come back to me.
I'm going to take it. I think it works in a weird sort of way because, I mean, that movie, it doesn't play it up a lot, but it does play up the fact that you have kind of this hive of humanity, and at the top of the hive is like the king and queen of the corporations. And in the middle is all of this completely, like, these giant, almost empty buildings that there's just nobody there, and you see one of the characters is living in one of these giant apartment complexes that he's like the only person there, and at the very bottom, in sort of the dregs of all humanity, is everybody like scurrying around trying to make the best that they can out of their lives, basically by selling every single exotic thing that they can figure out how to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it works, but it's not in your face like a lot of the other ones are.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. In the book, it's a little bit more clear that there was that you know, there's a catastrophe that, like, I think it's a pollution, or I can't remember if it's pollution or atomic, but like there's an event that starts sending more people off world in this original book, which is Android Stream of Electric Sheep. But in the movie, it's a little bit more of a sociological shift that happened.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Jason.
As much as I criticize Walking Dead, it's still probably my favorite out of that sort of genre right now. Because, I mean, they do a really good job of making you care about every little decision that happens. And I always end up, like, really sad when I'm a little bit behind on that series. So, I still want to be critical of it, but...
it's fair to be critical of something even though you enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe?
Probably, I'd probably have to go with Road Warrior. Just, like, from a young age, just kind of watching that one, so it stuck with me.
And it's really easy to have cool characters in that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's so many incredibly bad and awkward people.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'd probably pick that one. That's an easy one to latch on for myself.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. One of my wife's favorites is Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. I like all three. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when you get to the Road Warrior, though, it's a very different movie than the original Mad Max.
Like, yeah.
That Mad Max story is very simple, very
Yeah, there's
hard.
It's like there's still a little bit of society left in Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Road Warrior, it's like, oh, it's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's hints that it's going that way, but it's not in your face.
And then Beyond Thunderdome, it's like even further than Road Warrior. But.
Yeah.
But yeah, it makes me excited for Fury Road.
Yeah.
It's coming out next year.
I've seen some production stills from that. It looks good.
Yeah. I'm excited. But so yeah, I think we've brought up some good points and about the apocalypse and the genre. Mm-hmm. And
heck, even Terminator's about the apocalypse in a way.
Yeah, it's listed on here too. And that's why I sort of mentioned like Kyle Reese, like, you know, because while he comes back in time, but like where he comes from, it's the,
it's the
robots apocalypse. Have taken over, cyborgs or, you know.
Skynet.
It's still robots.
Yeah, you know. So see, you know, they take over and from the stuff. But anyway, we want to hear from you out there. Why do you think this genre is so popular? What are some of your favorites?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe least favorites? Recommend some.
Tell us the ones you hate with all of your wrath and vigor.
And the ones you love.
With all your wrath and vigor.
And Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, the best place to do it is on our own website, robotsattack.me. But if you are a fan of the social media, you can find us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one word. Naturally.
You can be a Twitter hitter.
And then our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And like I said, robotsattack.me. It's one place where all this gets collected together. All that information gets thrown into one pot there and stews nicely and gets reduced into a tasty, tasty broth.
You can stream previous episodes and you can learn about the things that Jason mentioned earlier.
Yeah. And which I recommend because it's learning and learning is cool.
Learning is cool.
Like bow ties.
We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't think the new doctor is going to be a huge fan of bow ties. But
yeah.
We'll have to talk about that one next week, at least a little bit, because that's some interesting stuff to me too.
Yeah. And, you know, as it gets closer to premiering in August.
Yes. Soon we'll have a new doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to have a panel at Comic-Con this year.
Oh, wow.
For it, so.
Hmm.
I think they're saving it for, you know.
For the big reveal.
Yeah. And then probably next year they'll have it, because then it's been some time for people to see the new doctor and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking
one thing I will say, it looks like a lot of robots in it, so. Nice.
Cybermen and robots and all that stuff?
I'm not sure I saw any Cybermen, but the preview had like practically all of the enemies that I could tell, other than like a T-Rex. Seemed to be some sort of robot, yeah. One sort of or another.
But gotta have them. Yeah. They are, the Cybermen are better at one thing, according to Daleks, and that is...
I can't remember how.
Dying?
Oh, yes.
Remember that was the really awesome joke? Cybermen are good at one, are better at one thing. Dying!
That's right.
It needed to be in the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the thing, my favorite episode with the one of my favorite episodes with the Daleks is when they were trying to help out Winston Churchill.
Would you like some tea? Help! Help! Tea!
We better stop before we get into the Doctor Who stuff. All right.
Right.
Speaking of Comic-Con, that is happening next week.
Next week, we'll
be down there, but these two gents will be here. And I'm going to try to record some video, which will be audio friendly, since... Mm-hmm. That's what you need for the radio.
Yes. Right.
While I'm down there, that these two gents can play off of the YouTubes or something during the show to...
Sweet.
You know, try to keep it somewhat current to see what sort of stuff has been mentioned at the show or just...
What sort of stuff dropped.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
We'll see. I'll give it a shot. But anyway, that's coming next week. But thanks for listening. We'll be back next week from 6 to 8. Have a lovely weekend, and we are out of here. We're going to turn it over to Robo-DJ.
Robo-DJ.
On KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mixto.